Before the prophesying goes, the brothers asked me just to share a little summary word of this weekend. And even though I just got up here this morning, I got a good report of the previous sessions. And so the main feeling I have in just a short time, if we look at the conference, we can see 4 points. The message number one covered the truth of the Jubilee. And we need to know the truth of the Jubilee because this is what we see as our will bequeathed to us by God. So when we speak, we have to speak something of the truth. And this is God's revelation to us. This is why we always begin with this matter of the truth. Then we can see message number two is on the enjoyment of the Jubilee. And this is our experience. The truth is not just for a doctrinal understanding. The truth is very much for our experience and our enjoyment. This is the joy, and I would say, of the Christian life. Number three, as we get into the truth and we enjoy the blessings of this truth, which is the Jubilee, then we begin to live a certain way. What we see determines how we live. If we see something of Christ, then we would live this way. And if we don't see something, we live another way. Before we were saved, before we knew the Lord, we lived a certain way because of what we saw. Then the meeting this morning, we saw this matter of speaking. Speaking applies what we've heard. As Daniel spoke, the conference is like a lecture. Speaking is like the lab. You cannot study chemistry, right, Daniel, if you just have lectures, right? You have to have the lab. So where's the lab? For the next number of months, you will be in the lab. Amen? The Lord is sending you back, not to the heavens, necessarily, but He's sending you to the lab. So what? In the lab, you can practice what you've heard. The only way that I like to conclude is this, that what the brothers are speaking and have spoken this weekend is something very real. I myself was saved through one of these speakings. Just before my college years, I heard something. I was a complete unbeliever, and I heard something. And this experience of hearing something of the good news of the gospel became a very, very large factor in my human life. Okay. Also, what I want to share is just a couple stories just to let you know that what we are experiencing and what we can apply is something very real. I know there's always doubters. This is the brothers, they can experience this, but I can't because of this. I'm not a bold speaker, I'm not this. But the good thing is, the Lord didn't say we have to be a bold speaker, we just have to be a speaker. Isn't it interesting that even though we can't speak in the meetings, as soon as the meeting's over, everybody speaks. All humans like to speak, right? So we speak about everything. Okay. Sometimes we have to learn. Our friends around, they're speaking certain things. We have to learn to turn it. Just turn. A little bit turn. Especially, the question will be asked tomorrow or Tuesday, what did you do over the weekend? Perfect opportunity. And that's what we're all praying for, that someone would ask you. What you saw, a little bit, you speak. You don't have to give all 4 messages. Because otherwise you may kill them. You just speak a little bit, whatever you enjoy. Is my second year in college, after I got saved, I have to let you know, before I was saved, I never even had a Bible. Even our house didn't have a Bible. Never read the Bible. Never opened up the Bible. I saw a Bible before, but I never was interested in it. Before I was saved, I went to a church twice, just a church building. Number one was for a wedding. Number two was for a funeral. That's it. That was my experience with Christianity. So I was a complete unbeliever. Okay. Here I was, as a young college student, I heard Brother Lee speaking about God wanting to marry man. I was so enthralled that God would select us, me included, to marry Him. Wow, I just was so enthralled. And I just couldn't get on the verses with it from Genesis to Revelation. Very briefly, I was walking on the campus that week, and I was just filled with that thought. And so I was going around the computer lab, and then there was a young man that passed me. And inwardly, there was just, speak. I said, speak. Okay, I'll speak. I ran up to him and I said, hey, did you know that God wants to marry man? I didn't know what else to say because I was filled with it. I just said it. He said, really? And so he stood there about 10 to 15 minutes, and I just poured into him whatever I heard. I was filled, so I spoke. It was just effortless. I was applying the Jubilee.
Amen.
I was living the Jubilee without effort because I was filled with what I heard. And I was enthralled with what I saw. Okay. Then we agreed next week to meet at the same place at the same time. I didn't see him next week. I didn't see him the third week. I didn't see him the fourth week. I said, I blew it. I just probably told him too much. And anyway, he probably just walked away. The eighth week, I saw his name in the newspaper, in the student newspaper, that he had contracted leukemia. And he was in the hospital. In those years, in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, leukemia, the treatment of leukemia is not as it is today. So it was a devastating disease. Anyway, the ninth week, I saw him in the computer lab. I think we were on the 11th floor. And he was at the computer. He looked at me. Of course, he had radiation treatment. He didn't look the same, but I recognized him. He saw me. He got up and he just gave me a big hug. And he said, when I was in the hospital and I was undergoing those treatments, I thought about what you told me, that God wants to marry man. And he said, I wanted to be part of that bride. And so in my hospital bed, I received the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, you know what, Dennis? I'm going to be a bride of Christ.
Wow.
Oh, I was just, I didn't have to take the elevator down. I was on the 11th, I floated down. Because, so, then, you know, at least before he passed away, he met the Lord. This all came just from being filled. Okay. We go further. We have different experiences just by practicing, brothers and sisters. Really, the goal of this summary is that you would practice. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid if someone says this or that. You never know. I can tell you a number of believers who got saved even after they rejected the word initially, including me. The first time I heard the gospel, the first week, I rejected the gospel because I saw the hypocrisy. So I rejected it. So I didn't want it. But the word still was in me. A brother who we know quite well, a young boy, was on his tricycle, maybe a bicycle, and said, hey, do you love Jesus? He said, get away from me, get away from me, get away from me. 13 years later, he got saved. And he remembered that young boy. You shouldn't think that when we speak something and people don't respond, a seed gets in there. And that seed sometimes will grow. Well, a little bit later, we were on the campus. And this is when I wasn't filled. I didn't feel like speaking anything. But I got filled by speaking. First, you're filled and then you speak. Second, you speak and you get filled. So we shouldn't say, well, I'm high today, I'm going to speak to everybody. I'm low today, I'm speaking to nobody. No. Whether you're high or low, you speak. And so here we were speaking to this young man on the campus, and he said, science, 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 science. I have no background in science. Daniel wasn't there. I have no background. This other brother I was with, we had no background in science. So this other brother was saying about, you know, this second law of thermodynamics and this person just kind of chewed us up bit by bit. But I noticed that he was standing there, and as long as a person is standing there, don't say, "Oh, I know you're busy, so you can go." Don't do that. If they're standing there, you speak. You just speak. You speak something of your enjoyment. And so as we were talking to him, I realized we need to speak to him about our enjoyment of Christ and being free from anxiety. Because he was a grad student, fully anxious, and so we spoke about that. He said, "Really?" You can tell he just was there. So I told this brother next to me, in the course of our conversation, we had about half an hour together, he said he liked to play basketball. The brothers would like to play basketball. So I said, "Go get him. Get his number, play basketball with him." That Friday, he was in our home. Next Tuesday, he became a believer in Brother Dick's home. Of course, you can't get in Brother Dick's home without being a believer. He was believer and baptized, right? The Lord caught him. The Lord saved him from an atheist coming. And then now, he got saved. He went through the full-time training, and he's serving full-time. Again, we didn't have much thought at that time. I didn't have much thought. I wasn't full, so-called, but I spoke. We spoke together. This is with a companion. Third, after I got saved, I was quite zealous because I didn't know anything. I just loved the Lord. I spoke to my cousins right away. I spoke to such a point that I forced them to get saved. They were a couple years younger. So because, you know, they were younger, I could force them. So I forced them to be saved. Well, as they became an adult, they rejected me completely. There was some opposition. At least there was some indifference. They don't need this. Years later, we're just praying for them. We just pray, "Lord, just open the door." Here is a UPS truck driver, one of my cousins, and he's driving. His route is from L.A. to Chicago and back. In the middle of Nebraska, he was there. He had two daughters, and by the Lord's sovereignty, his two daughters, at least his oldest daughter, received the Lord when she was in high school. And they begin to say, "Daddy, why don't you believe in God? I don't need God. Why don't you believe Him? I don't need Him." Well, he was going through some physical things, and he was driving. This happened probably, this went on for a few years. All of a sudden, I get a call, and I could hardly tell who was on the phone, because there was weeping. He was driving this big 18-wheeler in the middle of Nebraska or Colorado, wherever he was, and he said, "Dennis, I got saved. I'm saved." But I could hardly hear him because he was crying. He was trying to drive this big 18-wheeler, and he was crying. He was going and talking on the phone and crying. He said, "I got saved. Can you?" I said, "We just rejoiced together in the middle of the cornfield where he was in." He got saved. Only the Lord knows. We prayed. We spoke. That's all we did. So even the one who was opposed, indifferent, we don't know. The Jubilee can reach everybody. And recently, 2 weeks ago, on my trip to Boston, I was sitting next to a young man. He was a theology. He'd graduated in theology. We were talking. And so I brought up we talked about the Lord. We talked about the church life. We talked about these kind of things. And here he is. He and his wife just moved to Boston from Arizona. And she's in grad school there, and they know nobody. They just don't know anybody there. So when we were talking, he said, "You know, what you're telling me sounds just like one of the persons I work with, who's a young couple that moved from California." And he's working this number one rated coffee shop in Boston. You know, coffee shops in Boston are really something. They're not like Southern California. They're really something because they're all rated because it's so cold, everybody needs something hot to drink. So they all compete who's going to be the best. Anyway, they were rated the best, he was saying. So I said, "So who's this colleague of yours?" He said, "Chris Kayford." And he asked me, "Do I know him?" I said, "Yeah, I know him. I know him." I know his wife, Melody. Okay, there we go. We talked. And he said, "You know, I don't know what to do." He says, "But I just feel so peaceful just talking to you. By the way, can we hang out together? What do you do Wednesday night? Can we hang out together?" You know, for a young 20-year-old something to hang out with this old 60-year-old man, He has to be desperate. You know what we were speaking? We were speaking the Jubilee. Of how the Lord can release us from the power of sin. Not just the penalty of sin by His redeeming blood, but the power of sin by His Spirit, by His anointing Spirit. This is something that is very real to us. Anyway, the reason why he said that, because I was talking to my daughter and son-in-law. They're right there in Boston. So we were hanging out, was me, but really it was them. So that was good. So anyway, so we got together the next day. So we're just still in contact with them a little bit by a little bit. The purpose of this, brothers and sisters, is not to be afraid to speak. You have something that is vital. When you speak it, it becomes yours. When you speak it, you become more emboldened. Don't be afraid if you're filled or not filled. You just speak. You ask the Lord, Lord, give me someone to... I can tell you countless stories that we had. I don't regret my college years at all. Because we learned. We were rejected to the uttermost. We were cursed. All these kind of things. But people were saved.
Amen.
And to this day, we just rejoice in the Lord. All right? So don't expect, don't say that you're going to do something in the training and you'll really learn how to preach the gospel. No, don't wait till the training. That's too late. You do something now. Speak. When you speak, they are convicted. People are convicted because you speak with purpose.
Amen.
You don't speak like the Gentiles speak. We're convicted because Christ, our Jubilee, is so real.
Amen.
And He is releasing me, right? And I am living the life of the Jubilee. And I am being rescued. And others are rescuing me. And I'm rescuing others. This is all experiential. This is why in the excerpt, one of the points in the excerpt was this, a prayer. Lord, I want to experience the gospel that You revealed to Paul as mentioned in Acts 26:18. My point is, don't wait. You just try. Even we can't do it by ourselves, we surely can do it with others. We just don't know. When you speak, Christ, the Jubilee, the church life will become real to you. It will just become, and you will enter into the reality of the Jubilee. Then when you come to the conferences and come to the college training and come to the meetings again, because you've had experience in the lab, wow, the classes are so much richer.
Amen.
Because you've experienced something, right? We can't have a lot of young people that just hear and not speak. If you want to have the appetite for the Jubilee, you must let out what you've heard already. Otherwise, we become something that may be, what? Spiritually holding in. We're holding everything in. We should speak. Let it be released. Let it be released. Even if we don't speak something that is not accurate, we just let it go. We just speak it. When we speak it, our spiritual appetite grows. Amen. Many of us can testify this, right? Today, we're still speaking. It may not be speaking on the mountaintop in this kind of large way, but we speak to one another. And we speak to those next to us. Amen.
Amen.
So this is a brief summary here. Okay.